I need somebody. Help. Not just anybody. Help. You know I need someone. Help.
Good morning, everybody. Time to wake up.
When I was younger, so much younger than today.
I'm Bo Mitchell.
I never needed anybody's help in any way.
This is You Get the Blessing, and these are the Beatles. One of my favorite songs.
Help me if you can, I'm feeling down. And I do appreciate you being round. Help me get my feet back on the ground. Won't you please?
These guys could write music, couldn't they? Help me if you can, I'm feeling down, and I do appreciate you being round. Everybody needs help from time to time. And you're helping me today by listening to this program. You Get the Blessing exists because we introduce you each week to special guests that we think are making an impact in this community and around the world for the cause of Christ and for the assistance they give to folks that are in trouble or in need. And today our guest is Rob Bollinger from Nehemiah's Restoration Program. Rob, welcome to our show.
Thanks, Bo. It's good to be here with you this morning. Appreciate you having me here.
You look like a very successful, handsome, happy guy, so I can just describe you that way to our listeners.
Okay.
Mark over here, on the other hand, looks like a former professional golfer who has worn down to a frazzle. Just kidding. Mark Klibbe, my partner here, You Get the Blessing. And we're still missing Bob Belts, my normal co-host, who's doing other things at this point. But Rob Bollinger, our guest today, let's start by having you answer a couple of questions about your background. Tell me where you're born, raised, and what things were like around your home growing up.
Yeah, so born and raised in upper Midwest, Minnesota, a little town called Big Lake, just about 50 miles northwest of the Twin Cities area. And we grew up on the lake, my sister and I and my parents. You know, I would sort of liken my life to the Little Rascals. You know, I was running around in shorts and barefoot, you know, at the lake.
I like the Little Rascals. They need to bring them back.
I think they do. I don't know where they're at. You'll have to kind of.
So you were out there on your own.
Yeah.
Time
yeah.
you can remember just having yeah. fun with a group.
Yeah, you know, my parents were, attended church regularly until I was about 5 years old.
Then what happened?
And then for some reason, they just stopped going to church. I remember the day very vividly. My dad had sort of an angry look on his face. He came out with mom in hand and told us kids to get in the car, and we left, and they never went back to church. However, they sent us, my sister and I, to church on a regular basis, which was kind of odd.
Too many fundraising pitches, or what was the issue?
I don't know. You know, it's just the kind of things that happen in churches. I mean, he was on the board even at the time, and you know that issue was never discussed in our family. Never,
but you can remember.
Yeah, I can vividly remember it. Yeah,
they stopped. You think they stopped in terms of their own faith?
No, I know that for a fact. I mean, later on in life, I had the opportunity to actually witness to both of them. And they both assured me that they loved the Lord, and but you know they missed out on all the opportunities in terms of fellowship and those types of things. So, you know, unfortunately, I look at their life and wonder why they left. But I'm assuming some dynamic in the church caused them to do that.
So, just for the sake of clarity for our listeners, going to church. Does not make you a follower of Jesus any more than standing in your garage all night long is going to make you a car. But going to church is part of what it means to be a believer in Christ. And as Rob just mentioned, the fellowship and the benefit of Christians gathering together is what the folks kind of lost out on there. But it's a component. But the first component is, have you ever, you know, made the decision to receive Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? So when did that happen for you, Rob?
Later on in life. In fact, my sister graduated from high school. She left the house. I decided this was kind of foolish for me to continue to go to church on my own. So I stopped going, and it wasn't until I was about 26 or 7 years old. Of course, in between time, the Lord always sent people into my life. I worked for a small engineering firm, and I found out that every single person in the engineering firm was a Christian, and they wanted me to come to Bible studies and be active with them, and I just kind of didn't want to do that. And then I moved to California, and my aunt and uncle, they were Christians, and they insisted I come to church with them, so I would do that for a while. But it wasn't until I met a young lady who captivated my heart, and we dated for about a year and a half.
And she said, if you wanted to go any further with me, pal, you need to know Christ?
No, she said, if you want to go any further with me, you need to go to church. You need to take me to church.
Uh-huh.
And I thought, well, one of two things here. I mean, either I could get out of the relationship by not taking her. That's option one.
But you weren't interested in that one.
No, I wasn't interested in that one. And number two, I could either, I mean, I didn't know whether it meant like once or twice, you know.
Or forever.
So, or forever. So, but.
Evangelistic dating, we call this.
Yes.
A lot of guys come to Christ this way.
Yeah,
you're not the first.
I'm not
what developed here?
Will not be the last. Well, I took her to church. So, and we continued to go to church. But what I realized along the path was that I was just kind of doing church.
Mm-hmm.
Attending, going kind of with the flow of things, not really having that heart for the Lord. And it wasn't until she became pregnant with our firstborn son that I started to kind of realize that, you know, if I was going to kind of buck up to this thing about Jesus that and have a family, that it would be important for me to do something different than what I was doing.
So you went to church with her enough that she married you.
She did marry me, yes.
And you had a son.
And we had a son.
And then you thought, okay, I thought I'd bought the car here, but maybe I'm still just kicking the tires in terms of...
Yeah, I was definitely kicking the tires.
The real core of truth, which is Christ loves you and wants to be in a relationship.
Yeah, and, you know, her pregnancy went very well, but the birth went very bad.
How's that?
Well, Nick got caught in the birth canal, and... he came out oxygen deprived, and I found myself standing above a table where my son was laying, and the nurses and doctors kind of looking at me. I could just see their eyes, you know, how they have the masks around their face, and you could just see their eyes. And it kind of appeared to me that they were expecting me to do something, which meant I guess there wasn't much more that they could do.
Wow, and your baby's sky blue.
Right. Yeah, and... So I did the only thing, I guess, a man who had not followed the Lord over the years but was close, and to draw near to him, I did the only thing I guess I knew how to do, and that was just to pray. And I asked the Lord, if you would just deliver him to me, I promise I'd raise him up in the way that you would want him to go. And so I did that. Many times I tell this story, and I sometimes think to myself, is this really the way it happened? But I believe that I witnessed a miracle before my eyes, because it was just moments after I prayed that prayer, I saw God breathe the breath of life into my son.
Wow. So we start with evangelistic dating,
yeah,
and then we go to cutting a deal with God. Kind of like Louis Zamperini did in that movie Unbroken, that book.
Yeah.
Did you read that book?
Yes, yeah.
So Louis said, if you get me through this,
yep,
I'll serve you. And yep. You know what?
Yeah.
God meets us at those points of need, and he doesn't mind
no
being dealt with that way. He was right there for you, and you're saying all of a sudden the blue started to fade and life came into your baby.
Yeah, he started to breathe.
Wow.
And, it was...
like, and those eyes behind the mask were like, holy Toledo.
Yeah, what'd you do? I don't know. It wasn't what I did. It was what the Lord did.
And, I'm sorry, tell me your boy's name again.
His name is Nick.
Nick. So yeah. Nick, wow.
Nick Bollinger. Later on that evening, it wasn't until I was with him alone that I actually realized what I had done. And I realized that if I was going to actually perform what I told God I was going to do, and he made good on his part, that I would have to give myself wholly, totally to the Lord. And that's when I did. I was sitting there in a chair holding my son, and I gave my life to the Lord.
So, folks, if that story inspires you, know that in your own life, great scripture in Revelation, I think 3:20, that says, "Lo, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears me and invites me in to sup with him, I will come in." And Young Life leaders have taught for years, there's the doorknob's only on the inside. We have to open it to Christ. And what my guest did, Rob, that day standing over his child who's getting ready to die, was open the door and say, "Look, I need some help now." And foxhole conversions are fine with God. Whenever you get in your most desperate moment, cry out to God. You may not even know what you're saying, and you may not have been to church as much as Rob had been, but I'm thankful that you at least had roots down enough as you looked in the eyes of those doctors and nurses to think, "Well, wait a minute, this looks desperate.
Desperate. Yeah.
The only thing I can think of to do here is the best thing you could possibly do in any situation, pray."
Right.
And then you followed through on your end of the deal, and I think that's a great relationship.
Yeah, and I'm happy to report that both my son and I are ordained ministers of the Church of the Nazarene. And I feel confident that I've kept up to my end of the bargain as well. So
wonderful. Yeah. Was there a Bollinger that played quarterback in Nebraska that had a plane crash and died?
Had no relationship. Yeah.
I didn't like that guy because he was a great quarterback for Nebraska, but when I heard of I think it was his tragic death, I really liked him. So
because he was a quarterback for Nebraska?
That's why I didn't like him. No, I liked him when I felt sorry for him.
Oh, I see. Okay.
He was a good quarterback, if I remember, but I'm not sure. Do you remember Mark? Was that his name? Look it up, will you? Please. Thank you. So where'd your life go from there? And Nick and your beautiful wife, what's her name?
Her name is Patricia.
Patricia, yeah. And any other kids?
Yeah, we have two daughters. My oldest daughter is Robbie, my namesake, and my youngest daughter is Rachel.
Not quite as dramatic of entrance into the world?
No, they came in just fine. In fact, I practically kind of delivered them myself. They came out healthy, and my oldest daughter is a PA. And she's interviewing right now this moment she's interviewing at the University of Oklahoma. We're in their pediatric oncology department. So
tell her to go out to L. Dale Mitchell Field, the baseball stadium at OU's named after my father.
Really?
Yeah, he was a star there in 42 and 46.
Awesome.
Somewhere Bill Banowski, President Banowski, named the stadium. It's quite an honor, but OU's a good place to be.
OU's a good place to be, yeah. Yeah. My youngest daughter, Rachel, is still studying in Nashville, finishing up on her degree as a family and children's therapist. So
these kids are doing great.
They're doing well, yeah, and I thank the Lord for their faith and their following of Christ and their willingness to help people that are in need.
And I thank the Lord for your parents putting that seed of truth in your life, even though they chose not to fellowship anymore. That seed was there, and God knew
when
it was going to grow.
That's exactly right. I mean, that seed got planted in a way that when that time came, it came out, and otherwise I wouldn't have had anything that I would know of to fall back on. Did you guys Google that?
Bollinger.
Yeah.
Has nothing to do with this. Has nothing to do with this program. So God forgive me for bringing up Nebraska.
Okay.
So let's jump into how you got involved in what you're doing now and what Nehemiah's Restoration is all about.
Yeah. So Nehemiah's Restoration is an internationally faith-based nonprofit organization, and we believe in to restore the human mind, body, and soul of those people that are mentally and physically and spiritually broken in our world. And I think that's probably about the most simplistic way to say that. For the most part, we're not a relief organization. We're a long-term recovery organization. And so people who get themselves or find themselves at the tail end of a hurricane or a tornado or even a pandemic are life-changing situations that in most cases, if they don't have somebody come in and intervene or help them, their life will remain altered for the rest of the time that they're on the face of this earth.
Cross that line, you better get some help or you'll never get back on the other side of the line.
Yeah, you know, during the period of time that I was pastoring at the church here in Westminster, did that for 7 years, we took a team down to Katrina, or down to New Orleans after Hurricane Katrina hit, about 2 weeks afterwards. And it became obvious to me that some of these people who, just like you and I, living a normal life, going to work every day, going to get that Starbucks coffee or whatever it is that your routine would be, Coca-Cola, Pepsi, sorry.
Either or.
Get in a situation where a hurricane comes through and absolutely wipes out the whole city. There's no longer healthcare. There's no longer a place to get gasoline for your car, so on and so forth. That your life is pretty well altered, and it takes a tremendous amount of money, time, and effort to kind of get back to even the place that you are at. And we noticed on a trip about 5 years after that there were still people living in FEMA trailers, and I'm assuming there's probably still people that live that way today. So that kind of started our heart for the ministry. There was a little girl in Ethiopia that captured my heart in terms of the issue of AIDS and HIV and AIDS.
And how did you come in contact with her?
A missions trip that we took. We were doing a Jesus film project, and we came into a little village in Solombur, Ethiopia. And we were sitting in a church service one morning, and this little girl kind of came across the field. It was kind of a parched cornfield. It was a drought going on at the time, and she had a big bundle of wood on her back. And she caught my eye because she had this red velvet dress on and walking across this cornfield. And so one of the parishioners waved her into the church, and she came in, and I noticed how cautiously she put that bundle of wood down, that precious bundle of wood that she had gathered for the day that morning, down right in front of the door of the church, and she kept watching it. And at one point in time, her eyes kind of connected with mine, and I realized how her youth had been snatched away from her. Her lips were dried and cracked, and so were her hands. And you could see that this young girl, she was maybe 6-7 years old, just really had no youth in her whatsoever. And I at the time, my girls were about the same age, and I thought, that how different of lifestyles my children lead versus hers. And after the church service, she kind of just disappeared. And so I asked a question about her, and one of the people there said that her parents had died of HIV and AIDS, and she was living alone with the rest of her siblings and just trying to make a go of life, planting a crop, gathering wood, those types of things, and trying to survive. And so to this day, you know, I wonder, as my girls are in their late 20s now, is this little girl, has she survived? And did she make it through? And that heart, that passion, if you would, that God placed on my heart has never left me. And so Nehemiah's Restoration now has a project that's in Kenya, Africa. We serve over 2,500 people, widows and orphans due to HIV and AIDS, in a program called AIDS Orphan 712. And you can find out more about it at AIDSOrphan712.com. But it's a 7-point program that helps these particular individuals who have lost their caregiver, if you would, a widow losing her husband or a child losing a mother and father. We help them in 7 different ways, either with food, nutritional services, or extended family shelter. We try to place these young children in extended family homes rather than orphanages, so they can lead somewhat of a normal childhood life. And all of what we do in terms of education and or either providing for them, say, a micro enterprise in the family as we place them together, we're trying to hope, our hope is that these young individuals will become productive adults, and so that they can break that cycle of poverty in their own family. And that's the goal. It's a long-term goal, but it's a goal I believe it's worthy of. And so really we're a compassionate organization that shows the love of Jesus Christ, just like people showed me the love of Jesus Christ, and in the hopes that they'll do the same. So as they see us do unto them, they'll do unto others through the love of Christ.
This is Bo Mitchell. Our program is You Get the Blessing, and you're listening to the voice of Rob Bollinger, our special guest today, and we're talking about Nehemiah's restoration. And I know there's a scripture that says real ministry happens when you help widows and orphans. Either you guys know the address of that scripture, because I actually have that on my refrigerator at home. I read it every day. And I think, am I missing any widows or orphans that need my help? And yet I can't remember the address. But it's instruction that says, hey, pay special attention here like you're doing. So I appreciate your heart. And I appreciate, too, you painting that picture of that little girl in the red velvet dress. Mm. We're hoping that that this program, even though we're restricted by the fact we're on radio and we're not looking at you listeners, can paint a picture in your mind of what Rob's seen and what he faces every day and what Nehemiah's restoration is trying to help. We're hoping that you will catch a glimpse of that snapshot yourself and get involved. So how can people get involved as we move towards our closing here and our end of the program? Can you give us some ideas on what people can do?
You know, there's two ways we'd like to have people get involved with us. One is to support a child or maybe two or three children. As we place them in extended family homes, we typically like to support the whole family, not just one child. So for as little as $7 a month, now we use a lot of volunteer help. In fact, most of everything that we do is volunteer help. And so $7 a month for 12 months, that's where the AIDS orphan 712 comes from. You can support a child with some or all of these seven essential services that we try to provide to help them to become productive
adults.
Isn't
that incredible?
It is.
Stretch the dollar.
We are stretching it.
Business people that are listening, I know you like that. You like being able to trust we're getting maximum mileage out of the money we're donating.
Yeah, and we have people that that assist us that say, you know, this is all I can do, but I can do this. If I can do just $7 a month, I'm going to do this and help a child. And so for people who are looking for something very small that they can provide and help a child out, this is what they could do this holiday season. They can go to AIDS, AIDSorphans712.com.
AIDSorphans712.com.
Yeah, without the S. AIDSorphan712.com.
AIDSorphan, and then just 712.com.
And they can sponsor a child for just $7 a month.
Let's get hundreds of y'all to do that today, if you would, folks, because that would impact communities and change lives forever if you would do that.
Yeah, we have one other way that you can support us. In Kenya, health services are pretty marginal in the outlying areas, and so we are building a medical and mental health care facility in Siaya, Kenya. It's an area where 23% of the population are HIV positive.
Mm.
So a large amount of people. We already have the property, but there's some buildings on the property, and we need some renovation. So we're looking for huge amounts of financial support. I mean, I can't put it any other way. We need medical equipment. We need hospitals in the U.S. here that are willing to partner with us in terms of sending doctors to the facility and maybe providing financial assistance for us to teach Kenyans medical procedures, those types of things. We need a grant writer that can help us to write some major fundings in the field of healthcare as well.
Looking for a grant writer and looking for grants. So if you're listening today and have heard me say this before in this program, keep doing what you're doing. Be the best you can possibly be at your job. but also understand that God's plan of economy is this isn't yours anyway to own, and it's yours to manage, and it's not a matter of what do we give away as far as surplus giving, but what do we need to keep ourselves, and then the rest sacrificially, aggressively, cheerfully, we are to give to programs just like this. So I'm asking some of you to jot down this information Rob's given us and think seriously about a major gift in this direction, because it will be used wisely and impact a lot of lives.
And they can contact us at contactnr for Nehemiah's Restoration. That's contactnr, one word, so contactnr.com. And they can give us any kind of information how they want to help us, and we'll get back with them.
Contactnr.com. You know, one time on this program, a guy was riding his bike, has headphones on, met a guest like you working with an organization, had never heard of the organization, went to the website, donated $150,000.
Wow.
So we're looking for anything.
That would make my day.
From that number on in any direction. We've had smaller gifts, too.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
And we thank you in advance for helping. But, Rob, you've been a great guest.
Thank you. It's been a joy and a pleasure to be on your show this morning. Thanks for having me.
Give the information once more.
Again, AIDSOrphan712.com to sponsor a child. Or if you want to help us with our healthcare facility, you can contact us at contactnr.com.
And I'm glad your son, Nick, is alive and well. Tell him hello.
Amen.
We love your miracle story, and I love how you've committed your life to this cause.
Thank you.
Thanks for being here, and thanks for listening, folks. We'll see you next week right here on You Get the Blessing.
I never needed anybody's help in any way. But now these days are gone, I'm not so self-assured. Now I find I've changed my mind.